The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Steve Ree filling in for Dr. Tortora this morning. It's time once again for our weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We'll be here for the next hour talking about glasses, bifocals, lasers, and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here is 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer any questions you might have. All opinions expressed on this program are my own and don't necessarily reflect those of the station. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. We'll try to be very consumer-oriented today and make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, since I can't see you through the telephone, I may have to recommend an exam before I can tell you exactly what's happening in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and enjoy. Well, it looks like July 4th is right around the corner, and when I think of July 4th, I think of fireworks. So I know everybody out there are waiting to enjoy some fireworks, possibly go to some fireworks shows that are going around all over the island. However, I would like to talk about fireworks and eye safety. So fireworks, when used properly, can be a joy. However, they can be quite dangerous. So I just wanted to go over a few statistics with you about fireworks. About 8,500 fireworks-related injuries occur each year in the U.S., and of these, about 2,000 are eye injuries. And one-third of these injuries can result in permanent eye damage, and a fourth in permanent vision loss or blindness. So almost 1 in 20 people lose all useful vision or even require removal of an eye. So please be careful. I remember when I was a resident in training, I saw a few fireworks-related injuries, and I can tell you they were pretty devastating, so please do be careful. About one-fourth of all eye injuries caused by consumer fireworks happen to bystanders, so it's not just the people who are using the fireworks, but also people watching. Three-fourths of all fireworks-related eye injuries happen to boys between ages 13 and 15, and the single most dangerous kind of firework is the bottle rocket, which can fly, erratically, and they don't necessarily go straight up. They can go horizontally if they're not done properly, and they often cause bystander injuries. For kids under 5 years of age, sparklers account for most injuries. You know those sparklers that kids can hold? Well, they can burn quite hot, even up to 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. So they can cause a lot of burns, and they can be quite dangerous as well. So my recommendations for this July 4th, let the professionals do the fireworks. So go to one of the shows that are occurring all over the island and enjoy it with your family. And view the public fireworks displays from a safe distance. Respect all the safety barriers laid out by the professionals. And enjoy and have a good time out there. Well, other interesting news I heard over the past week that's eye-related. Did you know that animals can get cataracts? I know for our regular listeners, cataracts are a common theme in our show since everyone gets cataracts eventually. And turns out even animals can get cataracts. I saw in the paper early this week in the North Carolina Zoo, there was an elephant who had cataract surgery. I couldn't believe this. Apparently, this elephant, his name is Caesar, he's 38 years old, an African bull elephant, was behaving kind of abnormally, really erratically, bumping into things and becoming a lot more withdrawn. He stopped eating, he began to lose a lot of weight, and he began to just waste away. And apparently they discovered that he had pretty significant cataracts that he simply couldn't see. That's why he was behaving this way. And the zoo officials and the vets were wondering what to do. They even contemplated euthanizing the elephant because he was in bad shape. So they finally decided to go ahead and do cataract surgery instead. So they did one eye at a time. There was a veterinary ophthalmologist, so an ophthalmologist specifically for animals, who performed the cataract surgery. And incredibly, Caesar got a lot better. His behavior improved. I guess his attitude changed, and he began to eat more, and he was just, I guess, a happier elephant just from this surgery. And I just thought this was really, really neat. Firstly, doing cataract surgery on an elephant. I wonder how they even did that. I'm sure they used specialized instruments and stuff, but I thought that was pretty exciting. And it turns out they're preparing to give Caesar contact lenses because, as our regular listeners know, after we do or during cataract surgery, we remove the cataract and we replace your natural lens with an artificial lens. Well, there are no artificial lenses readily available for elephant eyes, so they couldn't put one in, so he couldn't focus quite properly. So it turns out they're going to prepare special contact lenses for Caesar, so that's pretty exciting and must be quite huge. Apparently the elephant eye is about the size of a racquetball, so I thought that was pretty neat. So I looked up on the web if other animals can have eye surgery. It turns out, yeah, there are quite a few. Apparently dogs can get cataracts quite often, and there are a lot of veterinary ophthalmologists out there who do plenty of cataract surgeries on dogs, and they're actually able to put implants in these dogs, making their lives a lot better. Other animals that have gotten cataract surgery include gorillas, horses, cats, reptiles, and even birds. I cannot believe this, but apparently birds can get cataracts and they have cataract surgery. Also lions as well as tigers. So, you know, I bet you really need a good anesthesiologist to do surgery on a tiger. I mean, that's got to be something. But I thought that was pretty cool, and I know that my patients who get cataract surgery are certainly very happy to see a lot better, so I can imagine how these animals feel. So today, I thought I would talk about prevention, specifically prevention of eye diseases. A lot of my patients often ask me, "Doc, you know, what can I do to, you know, help my eyes out? I don't want to get cataracts. You know, I want to be able to see better for the rest of my life. Are there certain foods, you know, I can eat, or what is it that can help out in the long run for my eyes?" And that's a really, really good question, and I get asked this a lot. Well, it turns out, you know, there are a lot of things that you can do or shouldn't do to maintain the health of your eyes. And there have been several studies that have shown this. You know what they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I think it was Benjamin Franklin who popularized that saying. And the first thing that I always recommend to my patients is to protect their eyes when going outside. And this is especially important here in Hawaii since it's sunny almost every day of the year. So why is it important to protect our eyes from the sun? Well, specifically it's the ultraviolet rays that can cause damage to different parts of the eye. With prolonged exposure to sunlight, the UV light can have lasting effects that add up over the years. So we recommend everyone from kids to grandparents to protect their eyes from UV rays when going outside. Before I go further, we're going to take our first break, and then we'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Welcome back to the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Steve Reeve filling in for Dr. Tortora. We were talking about things you can do to promote the health of your eyes. And one thing that I like to stress to my patients is to wear eye protection when going outside. You know, the sunlight is quite intense here in Hawaii, especially with the summertime starting. And you want to protect your eyes from the ultraviolet light rays in the sun. So what can long-term UV radiation do to the eyes? Well, UV light can affect different parts of the eye. It can cause several types of skin cancer on the eyelids. So if you know somebody who has a kind of a weird-looking growth along the eyelid, or if they have a bump that's been there for a long time or simply isn't going away, or if they have something that's oddly colored or oddly shaped along the eyelids, do get that checked out. Because one of the things we do rule out whenever something grows on the eyelid is skin cancer. UV light can also speed up the growth of something called the pterygium, which grows on the surface of the eye. The pterygium is kind of like an overgrowth of the mucus covering on the eyeball, and it can actually grow on top of the cornea or the colored part, over the colored part of your eye. And this can be quite bothersome if it gets large. It can get really red and irritated at times. And also, if it's large enough, it could affect your vision. So if it gets to a certain size and it seems to be vision-threatening, we recommend that we surgically remove these. So what else can UV light do to the eye? Well, it can also accelerate development of cataracts. I know we talked about cataracts earlier with the elephant, but the cataracts is kind of a normal progression or clouding of the lens. Happens to everybody. However, with prolonged UV exposure, it's thought to accelerate the development or clouding of the lens. So people may be affected or have impaired vision earlier if they're outside in the sun a lot due to the cataract. And if the cataract gets cloudy enough, of course, then we recommend getting cataract surgery. What else can UV light do? Well, it can also damage the inside of the eye, specifically the retina. The retina is the tissue that lines the inner portion of the eyeball. And it's thought that sunlight can worsen a condition called macular degeneration. So it's important for all these reasons to protect your eyes. Well, what can you do? Well, firstly, you can avoid outdoor activities when ultraviolet light radiation is its most intense. And that usually occurs between 10 in the morning to around 2 p.m. or early afternoon. So if you're planning on doing any outdoor activities, try to do it earlier in the morning or later in the afternoon or evening. Secondly, if you do go outside, make sure you wear sunglasses. If you're going to shop around for sunglasses, look specifically for those that have 100% UV blocking lenses. Usually they have a little sticker on the lens, or they may have a tag that specifically says 100% UV blocking. Sometimes it's described as UVA, UVB, blocking lenses, and so those are the things that you should look for. Some sunglasses may be labeled as UV400 blocking, and that's also good. That covers the UVA and UVB spectrum of ultraviolet radiation. Also, when you're out shopping, look for the sunglasses that cover the sides too. So the temples should be kind of, you know, thick, so it blocks the light coming from the sides, because light can always kind of sneak in from the top and from the sides. And lastly, wear a hat if you're outside, you know, especially one with a wide brim. Hats are great because it limits the amount of light hitting your face and also protects the rest of your head, especially the back of your neck. So always a good idea to wear a hat. So make sure you wear sunglasses when you're outside. I know I have a pair in my car, in my wife's car. I keep a pair, so I have easy access wherever I go. So what else can you do? Well, we spoke about cataracts earlier, and as I said, cataracts are pretty common. The majority of our patients have cataract or are developing cataracts, and the cataracts can be bothersome since they can affect your vision. If they progress enough, they can even cause a lot of bothersome symptoms like glare and halos at nighttime, and that can limit a person's functioning or driving ability at night. So a lot of our patients ask, oh, what can I do specifically to prevent these cataracts from occurring? Well, you can't absolutely prevent it since it's a natural process that happens to your eyes. However, there are certain things you can do to slow down that progression. Of course, wearing sunglasses, like I said, always a good idea. Whenever you're outside, make sure you've got those UV blocking lenses. There have been several studies showing that diet may influence cataract progression. Specifically, diets highest in fruits and vegetables and lowest in fats. There's another study that showed that people who consumed the most dietary lutein, this is a component that's found in green leafy vegetables like kale, spinach, and Swiss chard, had less cataracts than those who ate the least amount of dietary lutein. Also, those who used tobacco had a higher incidence of cataracts. So take home message, eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, avoid fats, eat green leafy vegetables. Those seem to offer the most protection against cataract progression. And also, if you're a smoker, do stop. So all this isn't really new news. I think all of our doctors advocate this type of diet, not just for your eyes, but for your general medical health. So I guess this just reinforces what our doctors have been telling us. So these dietary influences also apply to macular degeneration. I mentioned that earlier with the sunglasses. Macular degeneration affects the retina, which is inside your eye, and it can be pretty devastating if it's severe. Abnormal bleeding can occur in the area where you have your central vision. So in folks who do have advanced macular degeneration, they often have a blind spot that can be very debilitating. So what can we do? Well, again, diet high in fruits and vegetables can be protective. Not smoking as well, a huge factor with macular degeneration. Non-smokers have the lowest risk for developing macular degeneration. Factors that can increase the risk for macular degeneration include obesity, as well as sedentary lifestyle, as well as high blood pressure. So if you don't have a normal workout routine, maybe it's a good idea to go out and exercise. If you're a little bit heavy in the middle, maybe losing some weight, always a good idea. I know our doctors tell us this all the time, so it applies to our eyes as well. So again, we should always heed our doctor's advice, I guess. I know it's hard to actually go through this, but I think people who value their eyesight, which is all of us. I think all of us take our eyesight for granted until, you know, something happens that impairs our vision. So it's best to prevent these things or do everything we can to prevent these things from starting rather than treating it after it occurs. Now, there's another condition that's pretty common in our patient population, and that's called glaucoma. A lot of patients we treat have this, and glaucoma is a condition that affects the optic nerve. The optic nerve is the cable that connects your eyeball to your brain, and people who have advanced glaucoma tend to lose their side vision. It's the peripheral vision that's lost over time. So for our patients with glaucoma, there seems to be less of a dietary factor. However, several studies have suggested that people who drank coffee regularly had eye pressures. And this is significant for glaucoma since high eye pressure is a risk factor, along with family history and older age, for developing glaucoma. So for you regular coffee drinkers out there, it might be a good idea to cut down on that. Another condition that we see a lot of is diabetes. So this is quite common or becoming more common in the older population as well as in the younger population. It seems like I see more younger people coming into the office with diabetes and are on diabetic medications along with insulin. So we recommend that everyone with diabetes get an eye exam at least once a year since diabetes affects the whole body, including the eyes. What happens in diabetes in the eye is that the blood vessels become a little bit flimsy and irregular, and it can cause bleeding inside the eyes. So we recommend that people get a dilated exam at least once a year to check for bleeding, as well as swelling or even the formation of abnormal blood vessels in diabetes, because if we do see it, it may need treatment, because if it does worsen over time and if it's left untreated, it can impair your vision, and people have gone blind from severe diabetes in the eyes. So the majority of diabetes that we see is type 2, which is thought to be caused by excess body fat or body stores. And you hear in the news that, you know, obesity is a growing epidemic, especially here in the U.S. So the incidence of diabetes is sky high, and it's climbing. And we see a lot of diabetic patients in our office as a result. So what can you do? Well, certainly curbing your weight, again, diet, exercise, all a good idea, and that certainly is the best prevention for type 2 diabetics. So what are some general recommendations for eye health? Again, you know, nothing new, really. Our doctors have been telling us about our diet, you know, for years. They recommend that we eat more fruits and vegetables, at least 5 to 9 servings a day. Reduce meats, red meat, they also recommend for general eye health as well as for your general health. Make sure you eat a diet low in fat, so stay away from those fried foods. For smokers out there, always good to quit smoking. And for non-smokers, don't start, because that can certainly impact your eye health. And, of course, exercise and lose weight if you're a little bit thick in the middle. So all these are general recommendations that we give to all of our patients, especially for the eyes. So there are things that you can do to protect your eye health and to prevent all these conditions from occurring. So before we move on, we're going to take another break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataracts and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 73 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton. Dennis, here's what's happening. At least 9 deaths are now blamed on the storms that blasted the Mid-Atlantic region yesterday. Virginia's governor says 6 of the deaths occurred in his state. Another person died in Maryland, and 2 were killed by a falling tree in New Jersey. The storms have also caused massive power outages on a day that could see more triple-digit temperatures. Police in Colorado Springs say with the help of the National Guard will allow them to get back to normal police work in the city while the battle continues against a 26-square-mile wildfire. More than 150 soldiers and airmen are helping police staff roadblocks and patrol streets in the part of town where the fire destroyed nearly 350 homes and killed 2 people. Police have closed Kamehameha Highway in both directions between Kualoa Point and Ka'ava Elementary School after a fatal head-on collision. It happened at 4:45 a.m. near Ka'ava Elementary School. A car driven by a 20-year-old man crossed the center line and crashed head-on into a truck driven by a woman who was about 50 years old. She died at the scene. The driver of the other vehicle and his 20-year-old passenger, a female, were taken to the hospital in serious condition. A Waianae man has been charged with robbery and an attack on another man June 19th. The 23-year-old victim said he was approached by the suspect who brandished a handgun and demanded money. He handed over the money. The alleged robber fled. Police arrested the suspect on Wednesday, charged Stephen Kapono Ke Kahuna with first-degree robbery, bail $75,000. Sunny and breezy today, high in the upper 80s tonight, partly cloudy, low near 73. Tomorrow, sunny, currently 73 degrees.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the Neighbor Islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataract blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit HawaiianEye.com.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Steve Ree filling in for Dr. Tortora this morning. Welcome back to the Hawaiian Eye Show, where we talk about your eyes and eye conditions. If you have any questions out there, please give us a call at 521-8383. You can always visit us on the web at www.hawaiianeye.com. Well, we were talking about eyes and talking about stuff that you can do to prevent or slow down certain eye conditions. And now I thought I'd go over a few interesting cases that we've come across over the past several weeks. I spoke briefly about pterygium and cataracts earlier today. Well, we routinely see patients who have both conditions, both pterygium and cataract in the same eye. Again, a pterygium is a growth on the surface of the eye, which is quite common, especially here in Hawaii where there's intense sunlight, since the sunlight can accelerate the growth of the pterygium, often called surfer's eye because surfers are outside all the time in the elements and in the sun and they routinely get these growths. Well, we sometimes come across patients who have both a pterygium and a cataract. In fact, just the other day I saw a really nice lady who came in complaining that her vision wasn't that great. It was progressively getting worse. And when I took a look at her, she had a really large pterygium on the surface of her eye. I was measuring about 4 to 5 millimeters, growing towards the center of her cornea. And she also had a pretty dense cataract. So she had two things going on that could be impairing her vision. So whenever we see patients like this, we kind of like to do things sequentially or handle it in the proper order. So what I recommended to her is that we do the pterygium surgery first, since by doing that we're able to take better measurements of the eye. Since the cataract surgery, we remove the cataract and put in an implant. And for the implant, we customize that for your specific eye. So we need to take specific measurements to calculate what type of implant to put inside your eye, and it's best to have a regular corneal surface to make those measurements. So with the pterygium in the way, it's a little bit difficult to get accurate measurements. So I recommend that we remove that pterygium first, let the eye heal, get the proper measurements, and I do the cataract surgery. Well, it turned out she has both conditions in both eyes, so we'll have to do both types of surgeries, and then we'll tackle the cataract surgery. Another interesting case that I saw, well, a lady came in, contact lens wearer, came in complaining of eye pain. That was just what she was having over the weekend. And with contact lens wearers, we worry about infection. That's the first and foremost thing we worry about whenever a person has redness or irritation or eye pain. Contact lenses are great. They're convenient. They allow you to do sports, and you can get rid of your glasses when going outside and doing certain types of activities. However, you do have to be careful when using the contact lens. You know, you should follow your doctor's advice, remove them every night, wash them properly, and of course never sleep in your contact lenses. What can happen is the contact rests on the surface of your eye, and over time the contact may cause little areas of irritation on the surface, and if they're not taken care of properly, bacteria can set in and multiply and cause an infection on the surface of your eye, on your cornea. And this can be pretty serious. If it occurs right in the center of your cornea, it can really impair your vision. Oftentimes after the corneal infection or ulcer heals, it can leave a scar. So you can imagine if you have a scar in the center of your eye, you're not going to see very well. So people may end up needing a corneal transplant to improve the vision after the infection has healed. Well, this lady was a contact lens wearer. I mean, she did everything correctly. She used the contact lenses properly. Did remove them at nighttime and washed them properly. However, she did notice over the weekend that she was having some eye irritation, which developed into redness and pain. So she didn't put her contact lens in, obviously. And she came in, and she did have a little area that was infected. So what we do in these cases is to start antibiotics. And we often have people use the antibiotic drops every hour. These folks need to be followed pretty closely, since we want to be sure that the infection is improving with the antibiotics over time. So often I see our corneal ulcer patients every day, or at least in the beginning, to be sure that they're getting better. And this particular lady, when I saw her the next day, it looked like the infection was getting a little bit worse, and she wasn't feeling that much better even after using the drops. So in cases like these, we recommend either changing the drops or prescribing stronger eye drops. If they're large enough or if the ulcers look really serious, oftentimes we get a culture of the ulcer where we take a scraping and let it grow out on culture medium and see what type of organism grows out so we can customize the antibiotics. So for this particular lady, I ended up placing her on stronger antibiotics, and so we'll be following her closely. It does take a while for the antibiotics to take effect and for the infection to resolve completely. So it's kind of a long, drawn-out process, and our patients are really patient, really, with that. And I know their best interest is feeling better and improving their eyesight in the long run. So it's kind of a scary experience to be in pain and also to lose the vision like that. So we're very encouraging, and we try to instill some hope, obviously, that the vision will improve over time. So we'll be following this lady very closely. So all you contact lens users out there, please do be careful. Follow your doctor's advice and take care of the contacts and never sleep with your contact lenses in place. I had another light, nice lady a few weeks ago who came in complaining of double vision. We see this complaint every now and then. Folks come in saying, oh, you know what, I'm seeing two of things, either side by side sometimes or one on top of the other, one object on top of the other. And you can imagine that can be pretty bothersome to be seeing two of things all the time. So what is going on? Well, this lady just noticed it kind of out of the blue one evening. She noticed while she was reading that she was seeing two of everything, two words or whatever she was reading, it was double, one on top of the other, and it was quite bothersome. So when we saw her, sure enough, her eyes weren't aligned. So some of the things we think of is perhaps the eye muscles or the nerves controlling the eye muscles aren't working properly, and several conditions can cause that. Folks who have diabetes, long-standing high blood pressure can sometimes develop problems with the nerves that control the eye muscles, and they can have double vision. And usually if it is due to diabetes or high blood pressure, the nerves can get sick. What happens is the blood supply kind of gets cut off. Because diabetes and high blood pressure can affect the blood vessels feeding the nerves that control the eye muscles. So the nerves get damaged, the eye muscles don't work, and it causes double vision. So luckily or fortunately for those folks, the nerves do regain function over time. It may take a few weeks to a few months, but it does come back, or the function does come back. However, in some cases, it may not come back completely, so they may have a little bit of residual double vision, which may be corrected with eye muscle surgery or even with prisms in the glasses. Well, this particular lady didn't have diabetes and didn't have high blood pressure, so something else must have been going on. And when we examined her, sure enough, her eyes weren't aligned. One eye was looking downwards, whereas the other eye was looking straight. So there was obviously a problem with that downward looking eye, and she couldn't move her eyes up at all. So it was no wonder she was seeing two of things. So other things to consider certainly in these cases is, is something else wrong with the muscle that's not nerve related, or is there something growing next to the eyeball? Is there like a tumor or some sort of growth that's pushing the eye or preventing the eye muscles from functioning correctly? So in cases like this, I often get some imaging, either an MRI or a CAT scan. And with the help of her primary care doctor, we got an MRI done. And sure enough, one of her muscles was abnormally shaped. It was really kind of fat, for lack of a better word. And the radiologist whom I spoke to, who read the MRI, noticed that one of the muscles in the other eye was kind of abnormal too. So whenever we see that, we think of thyroid eye disease. Sometimes people who have thyroid issues can have eye issues as well. So what's going on? Well, sometimes people who do have thyroid problems develop antibodies. These antibodies can then attack the eye muscle, causing eye problems. So her primary care doctor ordered some tests specifically looking for this thyroid condition, and sure enough, it all came back positive. So turns out she had double vision as a result of her thyroid condition. Before we go further, we're going to take another break, so we'll be back in a few minutes.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out.
That's it. We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, and good morning. This is the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Steve Ree filling in for Dr. Tortora this morning. We were talking about a lady who had double vision, and it turned out she had thyroid issues. So what do we do in these cases? Well, since she has this acute double vision that's really bothersome, she has the problem with the eye muscle causing the double vision. Well, what we did for her was to start her on some steroids, which would hopefully kind of reduce the inflammation in the eye muscle, and hopefully over time the double vision will resolve. However, in some cases, even after being on the steroids, the double vision may not resolve 100%. However, we do give it some time, let the inflammation reduce and let the eye kind of come back to proper function. But if the eye muscle does not begin to function properly, and if people have persistent double vision, several things can be done. Firstly, they can have a prism in their eyeglass, which kind of realigns the vision, or they can opt to have eye muscle surgery, which corrects any misalignment in the eye. So hopefully this really nice lady will do well with the steroids, and will continue to follow her closely. The thyroid eye disease not only can cause double vision, since the eye muscles are involved, and when they swell up, they can make the eyes kind of pooch out a little bit. So oftentimes people who have thyroid eye disease, their eyes seem to be like kind of popping out of the socket a little bit, and that's because the eye muscles enlarge within the eye socket. And the eye socket is a confined space, and there's really no room for any other contents to, there's nowhere for the eye muscles to go if they do grow, and instead the eyeball just pops out a little bit. And that can be troubling in that the surface of the eye can dry out very easily. Oftentimes people with thyroid eye disease have a lot of dry eye issues from exposure. Oftentimes the eyes do not close properly, especially at nighttime, and the eyes can dry out. So we're very keen on treating this if they do have a lot of what's called proptosis, or kind of pooching out of the eyes. So it's very important to keep the surface lubricated. Oftentimes we use artificial tears as well as gels or ointment to prevent the eyes from drying out. And in severe cases, this can be of great concern, because the surface of the eye needs to be lubricated all the time for several reasons. most of the focusing power of the eye is actually on the surface of the eye. So the surface needs to be nice and smooth for you to be seeing at your best. A lot of our patients have dry eye issues, and I think folks out there who have dry eye syndrome can attest to having, can attest to the importance of keeping the eyes nicely lubricated, because when the eyes dry out, not only do they feel uncomfortable, but the vision tends to blur. So a lot of people who do a lot of reading or on the computer all day long, their eyes tend to dry out simply because, they're doing concentrated work, you don't blink as often, and the tears evaporate quickly while they're reading or on the computer. And the vision tends to blur periodically, and kind of they get better after blinking a lot or maybe after putting in a few eye drops. So that all is evidence of the focusing power of the surface of the eye. Also, if the eyes or the surface dries out over time, especially in people with proptosis, the surface can break down. If it's not adequately lubricated, the epithelial cells or the cell layer on the surface of the cornea can actually break down and slough off. And this can be pretty worrisome. It can be quite uncomfortable. Also, like those who are contacts, if there are any irregularities on the surface, you're vulnerable to getting infection. So we're very keen on treating not only dry eye, but exposure from proptosis. So the exposure issue is pretty common. I remember another young lady that we saw in the past few weeks who kind of woke up one morning with the right eye feeling just horrible. She was in pain. It felt like something was in the eye. The eye was red and watering profusely, and she was just uncomfortable. She wasn't a contact lens wearer. And when we saw her, she didn't have an infection. However, that outer epithelial cell layer on the cornea, there was an area that was just loose and it was sloughing off. And it turns out this nice lady had an episode years ago where she had a scratch on that eye. I think she was outside and her child may have accidentally poked her eye a while back, and that had healed nicely and she was doing well and everything was okay. However, she just woke up that morning in terrific pain. So what had happened was that initial scratch had loosened the skin, or rather the epithelium or the outer layer of the eye, and whenever there's any type of injury or scratch, that area, although it can heal properly, is always at potential for loosening up. All the molecules that causes the epithelium to be sticky, it's changed after a scratch. So that area is always vulnerable to loosening up at any time. And this particularly happens overnight when the eyes kind of can dry out. And when you wake up and you open your eyes, the eyelids tend to kind of slough off that loosened area, and it can be quite painful. So this is exactly what had happened to this nice lady. So what we do in cases like this is to remove all that loosened or irregular layer of cells so that it can heal properly. And I ended up putting a contact lens, and the contact lens isn't to improve the vision, but it acts like a Band-Aid. So when people get a cut on their skin, you clean it up and possibly put some ointment, and you put a Band-Aid on it so it heals properly. Well, and it's also more comfortable. And a bandage contact lens on the eye does the same thing. It provides comfort for the patient. Also, it allows that epithelial or cell layer to heal properly. And after it's healed, we remove the contact. And for this nice lady, it had healed properly. It looked really good, and we removed the contact lens. Now, unfortunately, she's always at risk of that area loosening up. since those molecules that make the outer layer here, it's not the same anymore. So things that we can do to prevent it from loosening up is to keep the eye lubricated. So you don't want the eye to dry out, because if the eye dries out, then that area can get a little bit irritated. It can loosen up and cause problems all over again. So we usually recommend using artificial tears throughout the day, especially if you do activities like reading all day long, or if you're on the computer all day long. All these activities promote drying out of the eye. So it's always a good idea to use the artificial tears regularly. Oftentimes we can see patients whose eyelids don't close all the way. And these are folks who may not even have thyroid issues. Their eyelids simply don't close, and whenever they blink, it doesn't close properly. And oftentimes they tell me, oh yeah, you know, when I'm sleeping, my spouse tells me I sleep with my eyes wide open. So this can be sometimes be problematic, because if your eyes are open, the surface of the eye is exposed, it can dry out, and oftentimes these folks wake up in the morning and their eyes just feel horrible. It's red, they feel sandy, gritty, and that's simply because their eyes are kind of partially open when they sleep, and that condition is called lag ophthalmos. The etymology of this word is interesting. It comes from lagos, which is Greek for hare or rabbit. And apparently, I didn't know this, but hares or rabbits sleep with their eyes wide open. So what can we do for these folks? Well, we often have them use like a gel or ointment at nighttime. So the gel protects the surface of the eyes while they're sleeping. It is kind of goopy in the morning, but at least the surface of the eye is protected and the surface doesn't dry out. And oftentimes they do have dry eye conditions. So throughout the day, we recommend using the artificial tear drops so they do feel more comfortable. Other things that can be done, if it's really severe, if their eyes simply do not close all the way, or some people have nerve or facial nerve problems possibly preventing their eyes from closing, that may require lid surgery, because you don't want the surface of the eye to be exposed or constantly exposed all the time. We see a few patients who have a condition called Parkinson's disease. That's a neurologic condition. And these folks have a very decreased blink rate. They don't blink as often. So you can imagine if you're not as blinking as frequently as you should, the eyes can dry out. So we often recommend that they keep their eyes lubricated to prevent the eyes from drying out. That's all the time we have for this morning. Thank you for joining me. It's been great talking to you about eyes and eye care. I want to thank all the listeners out there for making the show work through your calls and your letters. Please check out our website at www.hawaiianeye.com. If you have any questions about your eyes, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer your questions through the email. And again, don't forget to check out our website, www.hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Dr. Tortora. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We have offices in central Oahu as well as in Hilo on the Big Island. This is Dr. Steve Ree filling in for Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your fourth, and aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in
every weekday morning at 6, the Rick Hamada Program.
Are you kidding me?
KHBH Honolulu.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.